As we start this morning, we're going to do a little bit of review. So what is one of the main themes of the book of Philippians? Joy. Very good. Joy. 2 weeks ago, we looked how Paul had joy in his remembrance of the Philippians, and he prayed for them with joy, and he thanked God for them, and he loved them, and he had such a great relationship with them, and his prayer for them was that their love would grow more and more. Last week, we looked about joy in what? Imprisonment. Very good. In Paul's imprisonment, Paul had joy. How could he have joy? Well, it wasn't because of the situation that he was in. It was the joy in the Lord. And his focus was on God and what God was doing. There's another topic in the first 20 verses. We've looked at verses 1 through 20 now. And there's another topic that we've touched on, but we haven't really talked a lot about it. Does anybody know what that topic is in Philippians chapter 1 that is so prevalent throughout these first 20 verses that we have touched on, but we haven't really talked about? Gospel, right? Did you say gospel? Advancing the gospel. And the gospel is so important to Paul. And he mentions it over and over in this passage. How many times in these first 20 verses does he mention the gospel? Well, he starts in verse 5 when we're talking about when we say the gospel, either the word gospel or preaching Christ. So the first time he tells the Philippians, hey, here are my partners in the gospel. Then in verse 7, the Philippians are partakers of grace in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Verse 12, the advancement of the gospel. And then he goes and explains that in verse 13, that he's in prison and God's using his imprisonment to advance the gospel so that more people are hearing the gospel. Then in 14 to 16, other people are preaching the gospel because of Paul's example. And then in verse 20, Paul was willing to die to share the gospel. Remember how that he was waiting trials to come to stand before Caesar. And when he's before Caesar, Caesar has the ability to sentence him to death. But he didn't care. Remember verse 20? It says, it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. He was willing to risk his life to share the gospel. Question, is reaching people with the gospel as important to us as it was to Paul? Is it important to us at all? When was the last time that you shared the gospel with someone? When was the last time you invited someone to church? When was the last time you made a contact to try to reach somebody with the gospel? I think that's an area that we can improve on. I know in my personal life, I need to improve in this area of reaching out with the gospel to people. People are all around us and need the gospel. We're going to be talking about that this morning, about Paul's love for the people and how his goal was to reach people with the gospel. But we're going to spend most of our time in Colossians chapter 4. His purpose in the book of Philippians isn't as much of teaching them that, hey, you need to be reaching people with the gospel, because they're already doing it. They are his partners in the gospel. But we can clearly see the importance of it in Paul's life, and we're going to look at how that applies to us today. Let's start off with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, for the example of Paul, and we just pray that you would use Paul's story in our life and help us to be more like Christ. Help us to love people like you love us, and help us to take the gospel to the lost. Just pray that you would use all of us to reach out to the community with the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. So now, over in Colossians chapter 4, we're going to how to pray, and then he goes in with specific prayer requests. We're going to start off, why do we pray? Well, first of all, Paul commands it here, because pray. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I'm sure everybody knows it, pray without ceasing. Very good. We are commanded to pray. And so if God commands us to pray, we need to do it. You see the example of Paul. He was always praying. You see Jesus, his example of prayer. So it's commanded, but second of all, prayer is powerful. Prayer works. Paul was trusting in prayer. Look at Philippians 1:19 that says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." Paul was trusting in God through the prayers of the Philippians. James 5:16 says, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working." Prayer works. How many of you have seen God work through prayer? Well, that's too bad that not everybody has their hand raised. Because prayer is how God works through prayer. And God wants to show himself to us so that we can worship him when we see our need. I need to get your help, God. And when we pray and ask him, he's there for us. And we can see his power. I've got an example that I'd like to share with you. This is from seminary. This was a long time ago. When I was in a seminary class, it was an evangelism class, and the professor was talking about how that at his church, one year, they did not make it a focus to pray. And then the next year, they did. And then look at the results. So first of all, we got the event here, then you got prayers, and then salvations. So first of all, in a night in December in 1995, I have no idea what the event was. This was a long time ago, so I just know when they had an event. They didn't have anybody that was committed to praying. Nobody got saved. The following year, same event, they had 200 people in the church that were committed to praying. 75 people came to know Christ.
Amen.
In 1996, they had a football tournament. Zero people that were committed to praying, and no one got saved. The following year, 120 people committed to praying, 33 people came to know Christ.
Amen.
Baseball tournament, 1996, they had a few people that were committed to praying, no one was saved. The following year, 100 people, and 18 people trusted in Christ.
Amen.
Super Bowl event. Few people, three people got saved. The following year, 150 people that were committed to pray, 27 people got saved.
Amen.
Prayer is powerful. We need to be praying that God would save Kokomo. Not just Kokomo, Howard County, Indiana, the entire country, the entire world. We need to be praying for the salvation of the lost because prayer is powerful. We think of all of the problems in our country that are going on. You know what the biggest need is? The gospel. That's what's going to change this country, not politicians. So, how do we pray? Let's go back to verse 2 and see here what he says. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So the first thing is, continue steadfastly in prayer. What does this mean? Steadfastly in prayer. Talking about persistence. Keeping on, just like you read earlier, or said earlier, pray without ceasing. Keep on praying. Be persistent, consistent in our prayers. The next thing is being watchful in it. What does this mean? We shouldn't close our eyes when we're praying? Well, if you're driving, please don't. But it's talking about keeping our eyes open. Be alert. As we hear needs, hear things that are going on, in the church, outside of the church, with people around us, we hear something. Oh, I need to be praying for that. You hear something over here. This family in the church is going through a difficult time. God, please be with this family. Put your hand on them. Give them your comfort. And just being alert and always be looking around. That's part of the attitude of pray without ceasing. It's not about never stopping to pray, but it's about the constant attitude of when we see something, we pray for it, and we bring it before God. So that we need to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it, with thanksgiving. As God answers prayer, thanking Him for it. Even before God answers prayer, we can thank Him. Because we know that God's in control of the situation, and He's going to work it out the way He sees best. And so we can thank Him even before we see the result of it. So, how do we pray? What are the three things? Got the answers right up there. But first off, pray steadfastly, or persistently, or consistently, however you want to say it. Second, watchful. And third, with thanksgiving. Very good. Paul gives us a great example of this in Philippians 1, 3, and 4. I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy. He's praying steadfastly for them, consistently, persistently. Every prayer, it says, I pray for you with joy. And he thanks God for them. The one thing it doesn't say in this verse is watchfully, but I'm sure that every time that he heard news about them, that took him to his knees to pray for them. So, that's first of all, Paul's the way to pray. But next, Paul shares some specific prayer requests. What are Paul's prayer requests? Now remember, where's Paul when he wrote Philippians and the book of Colossians? In prison. So what's his prayer request? Please pray that I'm released from prison. Is that his prayer? No. So that's probably means my prayer. And we see in Philippians that the Philippians are praying for that. But that's not his prayer request here. Verse 3, it says, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison. So what's his first prayer request here? Open doors. Open doors. That's what his prayer request is. Not that he can get out of prison, but pray that God would open doors for us to preach the gospel. There's times in our lives that we pray for open doors and we have a desire to share the gospel with somebody, don't we? Yes. But there's no open door. We go and we talk to the person and try to share the gospel, and they're not interested at all. Has that ever happened to anybody? Yes. Those at the moment are closed doors. But then God will send us somebody that we weren't even expecting. Somebody in our lives, maybe we never even knew them. God will put somebody in our lives, and it's a wide open door that we weren't even looking for. And he opens an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And Paul is praying that God would open up these doors. So how do we pray for open doors? One, steadfastly. Very good. Two, watchful. And three, with thanksgiving. And as we're praying, as we're steadfastly praying for open doors, you know what? We need to keep our eyes open. Because God's going to answer that request. He's going to open up doors for us to be able to share the gospel as we're praying for them, so we need to be watchful. An example of this is about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I went out to eat with some of the guys that play soccer with us. And one of those guys was going back to Mexico. And I don't know if I'm going to ever see him again. So I said, hey, you're going back. Let's go out to eat. And so I invited him and the three guys that they all come together. And before soccer, one Monday night, we went out to eat. And my plan was to share the gospel with them. What's the hardest part of sharing the gospel? For me, the hardest part, how do we get the conversation to go that way? Is that hard for anyone else or just for me? How do I get that? So I started praying. Even before that, I was praying, God, please open a door for us to have a smooth transition, a natural transition to the gospel. sitting there eating, and I'm sitting there praying, please allow us to have a smooth transition so that I can share the gospel. And I'm watching, I'm listening, I'm saying, okay, looking for that, God to answer that request. And then all of a sudden, the guy that went back to Mexico said, started to share, about 2 years ago, I got really sick. I got so sick, I really thought I was going to die. And I was like, yes! Thank you, Jesus! Okay, I didn't do that out loud. But that's what I was doing inside, and not because he was sick, but I was doing it because God answered my request.
Hallelujah.
He gave me an easy road, an easy transition to the gospel. So I asked him, so if you would have died, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? And so I was able to transition and be able to share the gospel. So we need to be praying for open doors. We pray steadfastly, consistently, persistently praying for open doors. We need to be watchful in that, because God's going to answer the request. But not only watchful, we need to thank God. Just like I thank God in the moment that he answered that request.
Amen.
Paul also had his request answered. You see that in Philippians 1:12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. You would think that by going to prison, and his enemies by putting him in prison, that the doors were closed to share the gospel. His prayer request was that God would use it to open doors, and that's exactly what God did. He opened up so many doors that we talked about last week, how that even the family of Caesar, the household of Caesar, came to know Christ. And God answered that prayer for Paul. You know, if God opened doors for Paul while he was in prison, don't you think he can open doors for us out of prison? Definitely. We need to be praying, God, open doors, and we need to be watchful. You know, a lot of times I think that the problem isn't that God doesn't open doors. I think it's that we're not watchful. We're not praying about it. We're not praying that God would open doors, so we're focused in on ourselves, in our own lives, and not focused on reaching people. So when we are praying and being watchful, we'll see those opportunities that God has placed in front of us. Just yesterday, I went to the convenience store to get a drink, because I was here studying yesterday afternoon, and I was getting a little sleepy, so I needed some caffeine. So I went to the store and I was in line and paid for my drink. And as I was paying for it, the cashier said, hey, are you having a good day? And so I was thinking, well, the gospel, it's Paul, right? What does Paul ask for prayer for? Clarity in preaching the gospel. Clarity, that's what Paul asked for. You know, different people think in different ways. And I might share the gospel in one way with one person, and they'll understand. But I share it the exact same way with somebody else, and they don't get it. So we need to pray that God will give us the words that will be clear in preaching the gospel. That I may make it clear, which is how I ought to preach, to speak. Yesterday, during the funeral, I was praying for Pastor Keith. I know Susan was, I'm sure lots of you were too. I was praying, God, open up hearts here today that don't know you. Please be with Pastor Keith. Help him to communicate clearly the gospel. Help these people to understand it and put their trust in you. We need to be praying for clarity for the gospel so that people understand. I remember in Mexico, during COVID, we would go visit. Susan and I would take food to the people and some of the people in our church that lost their jobs because of COVID and different people in the community. There's this one woman that we would go every week. And every week when we would take her stuff, I would share the gospel. And the first question I would always ask her, so, after like the first week, you'd go back, so, what do you have to do to have your sins forgiven so you can go to heaven? Every week, you know what she would say? Something about good works. She would say, I don't remember exactly. Go to church. I have to obey the commandments. Things like that. That's what she was trusting in for her salvation. After several weeks of doing this, I would go say, okay, you know what question I'm going to ask you now? And she'd get a big smile and say, yes. And say, what's the question? She could tell me the question. So what's the answer? She would always answer it wrong still. I tried to change it a little bit. After a while, it's by trusting in Christ and obeying the commandments. And she just could not get it. And I tried to change the way. Eventually, she did. But people learn differently. People understand differently. So pray for clarity in the gospel. So let's review. What are the two prayer requests that Paul has? First, open doors. Second, clarity. Now how? How does he tell us to pray? First, steadfastly. Second, watchful. Third, with thanksgiving. Good job. You guys are doing a great job today. So we need to pray for the advancement of the gospel. We need to be willing to take it ourselves. We have two missionary families here today. We have the Carmichaels, and they'll be coming up in a little bit, and we're going to pray for them. And we also have Judy Murphy. A lot of times we think, we support the missionaries. We're a mission-minded church. But what about us? We need to pray that God would send us opportunity. Yes, we need to pray for our missionaries as well. God, open up doors for them. Give them clarity. Especially our missionaries that work in countries where English is not their first language. Pray for clarity. Pray for God to open doors. The next thing is, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Colossians 4, 5 says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders. First of all, what does it mean, walk? Is this what it's talking about in this verse? Walk. Live it out. Very good. Yes. Yes, following him, yes, right? Following Jesus. And walking, it's living. The New Living Translation translated live. NIV says act. And it's our conduct, it's how we live. So it says walk in wisdom. Is there a difference between knowledge and wisdom?
Yes.
Yes. Knowledge is knowing what it says. It's understanding, okay, God says that salvation is by faith, and God talks about the joy of the Lord, which we talked about last week, and difference. There's lots of people that have a lot of knowledge, but their lives haven't been transformed. We are to take the knowledge of God's word and put it into practice. Walk in wisdom. Just like, how many of you know Christians that are never happy, they're always complaining, they're always just, you know people like that? They may know what God's word says, but it hasn't changed their lives. They don't have the joy of the Lord in their lives. And so, we need to walk in wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. We need to walk in wisdom. We need to ask God, God, please give me wisdom. Next is toward outsiders. Who are the outsiders? The unsaved, those that don't know Christ. So we need to be careful. We need to walk with wisdom in our relationship with those that don't know Christ. So why? We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 9 to see what Paul did here. He walked in wisdom. He changed the way he interacted with people. It says in verse 19, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might have saved some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. So Paul acted differently, lived differently, depending on the group he was around. Does that mean he was going to live in sin? No. But he changed based on who he was with. He was trying to act wisely, live wisely, with the unbelievers. What was the purpose of it? To win them to Christ. Paul's whole goal in life, he was the missionary, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He wanted to go where the gospel had not yet been preached. That was his whole goal in life. And everything he did was to reach people with the gospel. We need to have that same purpose. And if we're going to reach people, we need to walk in wisdom towards the outsiders. Is that our purpose? Is our purpose in life to live with our interaction with those that don't know Christ? Is our purpose to win them to Christ? We can go to work. What's your main purpose in going to work? Is it to earn a paycheck to supply for your needs for your family? Now, that's important and that's necessary. But what about your interaction with your coworkers? Is your goal to reach them with the gospel? That was Paul's whole mission in life, and we need to have that same thing as well. Well, how can we walk in wisdom towards outsiders? First, our testimony. How's your testimony? Do people know that you're a Christian? Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Our testimony should bring people to Christ. I think of Paul. It has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest of my imprisonments for Christ. As he was in a Roman prison, under house arrest, but chained up to a Roman soldier there in Rome. Everybody in Rome had heard about Paul. They heard of his testimony, and everybody wanted to go, here, I want to go hear this guy. There's something different about him. Is that the way people see us? Do we have a good testimony at work, in our communities, but where we live? We're going to use an illustration here. This is completely fictitious, but just Pastor? And he said, oh, yeah, you know Pastor Key. Do I know Pastor Key? Well, last year, Pastor Key came and bought one of these giant 200-inch TVs that you install outside. It's waterproof, so you can get in your backyard and just chill out and watch TV all day. Yeah? Well, he put a down payment down of $50, and this thing cost $20,000. He hasn't paid 1 cent of that since that $50 deposit. And we can't get him to pay anything. Now, this isn't true. Pastor Keith does not have a TV like this. It's completely fake. But if this were true, do you think that Pastor Josh is going to be able to effectively share the gospel with that person? You think Pastor Keith could? Even less opportunity. Why? Because of the testimony. How is your testimony here in Copeland? Do people know that you're a Christian? Do they see something different about you? Do they see the love of Christ in your life? We need to have a good testimony. Second way we can walk in wisdom towards them is love them. Notice what it says again. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. It doesn't say, like with our testimony, it's in front of them. But this is towards them. It's like this, going over here and loving people. Walk in wisdom towards them. How do I interact with those that don't know Christ? Do I show them love? How can we love those who don't know Christ? What I would love to do right now, but we can't because Judy took too much of our time. I'm kidding. I would love to do right now, but because of time and also it's just there's so many people here, is have a brainstorm. How can we love people around us? I'd love to do that. Get ideas. If you have ideas that you've done, come talk to me afterwards. I'd love to hear them. But what are we doing to love them? How can we love them? One thing that we would do in Mexico is every Christmas time, Susan would bake cookies. And she would bake cookies for all of our neighbors. And we would go out and visit our neighbors and bake cookies to show love towards them with the goal of being able to share the gospel with them. Another way to look for hurting people. People that are hurting are the most open to the gospel. When somebody comes to counseling and is looking, that needs help, that doesn't know Christ, I always look at it this way. God allowed them to go through this problem because he wants to save them. God put them through this trial so that they would be at church right now to hear about him so that they could live for him and glorify God. Receive help for their problem, start to change, have a completely transformed life.
Amen. Amen.
So how can we love those? There's lots of different ways. Maybe it's inviting somebody over for a meal. Maybe it's just going up to somebody and saying, I'm praying for you. How can I pray for you better today? And then right there at that moment, just pray with the person. There's so many ways, and I'd love to hear your ideas as well. How can you love others? This might be if you're still meeting in your small group in July, and this could be a question you discuss in your small group. How can we show love to those around us? But all of us should have a good testimony. We should be walking in wisdom, loving people, just like Paul did. Next, take advantage of your opportunities, as it says in the end of verse 5, making the best use of the time. We have no idea how much time we have here on earth. Just this month, there's 4 or 5 families in our church that have lost loved ones. We have no idea how much time we have. We need to take advantage of our time. Some of my biggest you ought to answer each person. So how should our speech be? Speech should be gracious. It should be gracious. It should be considerate. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Our words should be uplifting, encouraging. We should try to edify people with our words. So that's the first thing. The second thing is seasoned with salt. How does seasoned with salt have to do with speech? Well, one of the things that reasons that you use salt is to give flavor. If you ask somebody that's not a believer, that doesn't go to church anywhere, what is a Christian? What are they going to say? They're going to probably say, well, it's somebody that they have to follow a bunch of rules. They have to go sit through a boring service on Sunday. And they just have to follow a whole bunch of rules, all the rules in the Bible. Is that what being a Christian is all about? They aren't understanding what God has done for us. They don't understand how God wants to completely transform our lives. It's like a potato, a baked potato. How many of you like to eat baked potatoes? It's a big one, isn't it? Okay. How many of you would like to eat a baked potato just like this, with no salt, with no butter, with nothing else on it, just like that? Would anybody? Oh, there's a couple. For me, I think that's kind of gross. I mean, I love baked potatoes, but not like that. What do you need to add to a baked potato to make it good? Cheese, bacon, sour cream. Now this is a baked potato. Suppose there's somebody from another culture that comes here that's never eaten a baked potato before, and he says, "Oh, I love baked potatoes." This is what they're thinking. And then they go home and put a baked potato in the oven and cook it, and then eat it. That's kind of weird. I don't understand, Brian. What's he so great about a potato? And then he comes and says, "Yeah, I tried it. I wasn't a big fan." I said, "Well, how did you eat it?" And he says, "Oh, you need seasoning on it. You need bacon. If you put bacon on it, bacon makes everything taste better. And so does cheddar cheese. But you make it flavorful." Now, I'm not saying that we need to make the gospel sound better than it is, because we don't need to. But they're not understanding what the true gospel is. They're not understanding what really the Bible means to become a Christian. One commentary says, I got it in my notes on the previous page, but I forgot. Paul probably refers here to speech designed to make sense to outsiders and be relevant to them. So we need to explain with our mouth what it means to be a Christian. Share our testimony, how God has transformed us. It's not about a system of obeying rules. Yes, God does give rules, but they're for our benefit. It's about a relationship with Him and Him transforming our lives. We can share how God has given us victory over different sins. We can share how God has completely changed us. They should also be able to see that as we walk in wisdom, but we also need to share. Make the Bible relevant. That's why I love counseling, because the Bible is relevant for every problem. Everything that we're going through, God can use His Word to help us through that situation. And so we need to make it understandable to those that don't know Christ. Next is, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. This goes along with 1 Peter 3:15 that says, always being prepared to make defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So first we need to be praying. We need to be praying that God would open doors. We need to pray that God would give us clarity when we have the opportunity to speak. Then next, we need to be living out our testimonies, commit thanksgiving. Are you praying? This is an area that I admit I do not pray for these gospel opportunities like I should. And through studying this week, I have been praying this, and I challenge you to pray as well. Next, how's your walk? How's your testimony? Are you living your life to please God? Can other people see that? Can other people see the joy that you have for serving Jesus? That's going to open up opportunities to share the gospel. But also, are you loving those that are outside of the church that don't know Christ? Many times, we live for ourselves. We're not thinking about those people. Even in the church, we get involved in our small groups, and all of our friends are here at the church, and we don't think as much about those outside. We need to walk in wisdom towards them. Next, how's your talk? When was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? When was the last time you invited somebody to church? We need to share the gospel, not just live it. Finally, are you sure that you have your sins forgiven? We've talked a lot about the gospel today, but we haven't really shared what the gospel is. Jesus came down to die on the cross because we are all sinners. Jesus died to pay for our sins on the cross. Maybe you're here today and you don't know 100% certainty that if you were to die, you would go to heaven. You can have that security. You can have that surety by trusting in what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's not by going to church. It's not by obeying God's commands. Those are good things, but that doesn't help us have our sins forgiven. It's only by trusting in what Jesus did for us on the cross. If you're not 100% sure that your sins are forgiven, I would love to talk to you after the service. Feel free to come talk to me. Talk to one of the other pastors or talk to somebody else that's here. We would love to show you what God's Word says, how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. It would be sad to leave here today and not know for sure. We're not guaranteed another day, another minute. Are you sure? A few action steps. First action step is for those that aren't sure that their sins are forgiven, please come talk to me. Come talk to one of the other pastors or somebody else. That's the only action step that I want you to take this week. For the rest of us, meditate on Colossians 4, 2-6 this week. Think about that. How am I applying this to my own life? Am I applying it? Second, think about at least one person that needs the gospel. If you have a pen, write that person's name down right now. At least one person. You can put multiple people if you want. But think of at least one person. Pray for that person and pray for open doors every day. So every day I want you to make the commitment, I'm going to pray for JP. I'm going to pray for this person every day. And God, not just this, I'm praying that you would open up other doors. And as we're praying that, we need to be watchful. As God opens up doors, many of you are going out for lunch today after church. You can have an opportunity there. Pray for that person and pray for open doors every day. Next, think of how you can love that person this week. Think of how you can love that person. So what is something that you can do? That person that you wrote down, or if you didn't write it, you've got it up here. How can I love that person this week? And then not just think of how you can love them, do it. Love that person and look for open doors to talk and share the gospel. Maybe it's a person that they're going through some difficult times in life. You know, you can invite them to counseling here. Say, you know what? We have a ministry out to share the gospel with people. We need to.